Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted Garnett House Hotel. You can see it from miles away. The bright light, a beacon designed to let travelers know of a safe place to stop and rest. It's like glowed like fire in the night sky. The top floor of an antebellum-era hotel known today. That light is what brought some of the most storied villains and progressive leaders to the Midwest and to its doors over its 160-year history. In the 1870s, the town of Garnett, Kansas, was a crossroads of a new world. Settlers, cowboys, criminals, and the righteous all passed through this now-forgotten town. Some notable characters of the day included Wyatt Earp, Bat Masterson, Wild Bill Hickok, Buffalo Bill Cody, Bell star Jesse James, and many others have all stayed at what was the Garnett House Hotel. Screams in the night have been heard on EVP recordings taken at the haunted Garnett House. One of the most disturbing elements of these screams is that they appear to come from a child. Who is this child, and what that child need remains to be known. However, these screams are far from a one-time occurrence. What is the story of the haunted 1885 Garnett House Hotel? That's what we try to answer on today's episode of The Grave Talks.
Well, the 1858 hotel, or Garnett House Hotel, is located in Garnett, Kansas. It was built in 1858 by D.W. Houston, who was one of the early settlers of Garnett, Kansas. Now, At that time, the area was still sparsely populated by those not Indians, and the population, though, was booming. There was a large influx of people coming from not only the North New England area, but from Missouri, who were kind of competing for the future of the state. At that time, D.W. Houston, of its building, he built the place for his wife. It was a two-up and two-down configuration. They were just building it to be a home right away, but she didn't like the way it swayed in the wind, is what she said. And so there, very soon thereafter, he turned it over to another gentleman named Mr. Teft to become a hotel. And almost from the beginning of it becoming a hotel, he began to add on to the building. And it began to change shape over time. Now, the word is that while people were coming to the region, there were upwards of 20 families staying on this property at a time, inside the building and around the property. And you know, but those times in the 19th century, those families, I'm sure, were pretty large. The area was pretty rural, and so I don't know how they survived in the Kansas heat, but they did, or if they didn't, we don't know that either. Shortly thereafter, after becoming a hotel, they began to expand on it. It also became the center of the Underground Railroad in that area. Now, a lot of the people that were coming to Garnett during that time were abolitionists from the Northeast. And Mr. Houston, or Colonel Houston, because he was the colonel of the Union Regiment during the Civil War from that area, was one of them. Now, the people that were coming there were also some famous people. One of them notably is the famous abolitionist John Brown, who lived in Osawatomie, which is just north of Garnett. And John Brown was not a pacifist in his beliefs of abolitionism. He believed in live by the sword, die by the sword. And he had a more aggressive stance to abolition, where he was actually in direct conflict with pro-slavery men in the area, as well as in conflict with those from Missouri, who at that time, Missouri was more of a split state than a pure slave state, but there was a lot of slavery in Missouri. And the folks that were in Kansas definitely wanted to stop slavery from coming into Kansas. So he was raiding into Missouri, into farms along the western border of Missouri, and stealing slaves. And they were bringing them to different locations there in Anderson County, Kansas, and then ferrying them up to Canada from there. And the Garnett House, the attic of the Garnett House, is said to be one of those locations where slaves were being taken and hidden before being transported on to Canada.
Now, right on the borderline there between Missouri and Kansas, that was a very contested area as far as their beliefs, correct, on slavery. One was pro, one was not, correct?
Right. What you had happening, especially during the 1850s, the Civil War kind of started 10 years before in this area. Mm-hmm. Now, the Garnett House is the oldest surviving board and batten, Latin plaster structure in the area. So at that time, it was also known as the Lighthouse Hotel because they would put a light up in the shutters and you could see it from 9 miles away. People coming in covered wagons would use that as a beacon to get to Garnett. But at that time, a lot of the people that were coming weren't either from, like I say, from the east, or they were coming in from Missouri trying to sway the state into the pro-slavery camp.
Okay. Now, as time progressed and as we get more into the early part of the 1900s and such, how did things evolve? Who else came to the hotel? What else happened there?
Well, shortly after, in the early 1860s, it began to grow as a hotel. So it started out as two rooms up, two rooms down, but the building began to expand. So you had this hotel ever growing and different people coming. And a lot of the people that would come, some were doctors that would come from outside the area that would come and practice out of the building for, say, 2 weeks at a time. So you couldn't see a specialist in your kidneys or your heart in that area. At the time, you had to depend on someone coming from Kansas City or St. Louis or something like that. And these doctors would set up shop here in the Garnett House and treat folks in the area. You also had things like famous cowboys that stayed there, especially during the Old West and cattle driving days, like Bat Masterson, Wild Bill Hickok, Buffalo Bill Cody, Wyatt Earp, Bell Starr, rumored Jesse James, because the James brothers did frequent the area. They had a friend who owned a ranch just south of the town of Garnett that was actually a guerrilla camp during the Civil War. The Quantrill's raiders would go there and hide out. But after the war was over, the James brothers were still friends with this guy named Peg Leg Rutledge. And what they did is they built a prefabricated house on his property so they could go down there and kind of live incognito under assumed names, and then nobody would bother them. So it was said that they actually frequented the Garnett House as well, but you never can prove it in writing because they operated incognito.
Now, obviously, a lot of those names associated with some violent stories, some very interesting tales, and some are just that, tales. Some are factual. Was there anything involving any of those characters and the house that stands out?
Well, we know that Buffalo Bill Cody and Wild Bill Hickok came and stayed there at the same time because they were on the first train to Garnett when they opened the train line. Now, it's said that Wild Bill Hickok actually stayed there more than one time during the 1870s, but we know for sure that those two were there simultaneously because it's in the historical research that we've done for the history of Anderson County. They, you know, like I said, this was Old West kind of times in Kansas. Now, you go down to this area now and it's very laid back. You know, a lot of Mennonites and Dunkards and Amish folks in town. But back in the 1870s and 1880s, Garnett was a lot like Tombstone where there was no law enforcement, and there were open-air brothels downtown, and there were, you know, shootouts in the streets and that sort of thing. So it was, you know, very much a cattle town back in that era.
Dramatically different than what folks see today or think of today, if they've ever been to the area and don't know the history. As time progresses and we get more out of, I guess, what you would call the Wild West era, how did things progress for the building?
Well, we know that on some of the Kansas plot maps, it's listed as a school for a period in the 1880s. Also during the 1880s, it did change name to the Commercial House instead of the Garnet House because they brought in a manager, a lady from Olathe, Kansas, which is near the Kansas City area, and she ran the Commercial Hotel in Olathe. So she came, her name was Mrs. Simons, and she became Mrs. Putnam thereafter. She married another gentleman in the area, and she transformed it to Commercial House for quite a few years, and it operated under that name. And it kind of operated in a hotel probably to about the turn of the century. Now, this school period, you know, we're not exactly sure how that kind of fits in with the hotel era, but we know it was definitely part of it was listed as a school. And at that time, it had changed hands many times, different owners, and they always kept expanding on it. And the hotel boasted upwards of 15 hotel rooms at its peak. Now there's probably three up, three down as far as what remains. What happened, though, is around the turn of the century, we know that also one thing, another person that were rumored to stay there was Harry Houdini, because him and his wife Bess would come to town and do their spiritualist sessions at the opera house in downtown Garnet before he was a famous escape artist. But about at that end of that time, around the turn of the century, around 1900, the building was split into three pieces. We're not sure how they moved it, but they did. The Garnet House piece that we own currently is one of the three pieces. The other two, one we think has been demolished, and another piece we think sits nearby, but we can't prove it yet.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.